All right, welcome back to the deep dive. You know, for all you law students out there hitting the books hard, I thought today we could really untangle this super interesting but also kind of tricky area where felony murder and voluntary manslaughter sort of bump up against each other.
Yeah, this is one of those areas in the law where things can get really, really murky.
Right.
Especially when you're dealing with situations where intent isn't crystal clear, emotions are running high, you know, those real-life scenarios that don't always fit neatly into legal boxes.
Exactly, exactly. And to really dissect this, I thought we could dive deep into a specific case from the Georgia Supreme Court. It's Edge v. State. And it really gets to the heart of how provocation can make a felony murder charge a whole lot more complicated.
Absolutely. Edge v. State is a pivotal case in Georgia. It's not just about understanding the difference between felony murder and voluntary manslaughter. I mean, that's important, of course, but it's really about how the courts, how legal system tries to handle those situations where the line between a calculated act and a heat of the moment decision, well, it gets blurred. And, you know, another big thing the Edge case really highlights is the importance of making sure jury verdicts line up with the evidence, making sure they make sense logically.
Right. It's about consistency, right? Like the verdict shouldn't feel contradictory.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So to really grasp what's going on in Edge, let's rewind the clock a bit. We're talking 1990. The case involves a man named Jesse Edge and his estranged wife, Barbara. Sadly, Edge ends up killing Barbara. He shoots her, which leads to him getting hit with a whole bunch of charges.
Yeah, a pretty serious set of charges.
Yeah.
Malice murder, felony murder, with the underlying felony being aggravated assault in this case. And then a separate firearms charge because, you know, he used a gun to commit the crime.
And this is where things start to get legally sticky. The jury comes back with their verdict, and they find Edge guilty of voluntary manslaughter and felony murder.
And that right there, that and, that's what really throws everything into a tailspin and becomes the central issue in the appeal.
Right, because how can you be found guilty of both? I mean, that's what Edge's argument basically boils down to. He's like, wait a minute, you're saying I killed my wife in the heat of passion because of some kind of sudden provocation, which is basically the definition of voluntary manslaughter. But then you're also saying I'm guilty of felony murder.
And he has a point, right? I mean, think about yeah. it. Voluntary manslaughter, it hinges on this idea that you lacked malice,
yeah.
right? You weren't thinking clearly. You weren't in control because you were provoked. But felony murder, on the other hand, well, the idea there is that even if you didn't plan to kill, the fact that you were committing a felony, a dangerous one, means you were acting with a certain recklessness, a kind of implied malice.
So you have these two verdicts that seem fundamentally at odds with each other. One says the killing was driven by passion. The other suggests malice.
Exactly. You've got one side saying there was no malice in the killing itself, and the other side saying, well, there was implied malice because the killing happened during a dangerous act, the aggravated assault.
Okay, so the really big legal question that the Georgia Supreme Court had to grapple with in Edge was, can you actually convict someone of felony murder when the jury also decides, you know, at the same time that the killing was triggered by provocation? Which, of course, is why they also found him guilty of voluntary manslaughter. I mean, it seems contradictory, doesn't it?
It does seem contradictory, yeah.
So how did the court resolve this?
Well, they actually ended up reversing the felony murder conviction.
They did. Okay, so they sided with Edge on that point. Interesting. What was their reasoning?
Their reasoning is where things get even more interesting. They basically said that the jury's finding of provocation, that finding that Edge acted in the heat of passion, well, that fundamentally changes the nature of the underlying felony, the assault. It's no longer an act that automatically implies the kind of malice that you need for a felony murder charge.
Okay, I think I'm starting to see where this is going, but can you break that down a little more?
Sure. So because the jury convicted Edge of voluntary manslaughter, they essentially said, look, we believe he acted in the heat of passion, which means he didn't have the kind of malicious intent that's usually a key ingredient in felony murder. To then turn around and say, well, he's also guilty of felony murder because that same passionate provoked act implies malice. Well, the court saw that as, and I'm quoting here, a legal inconsistency. It's like saying something is both hot and cold at the same time. It just doesn't make sense.
I see. So the provocation, the heat of the moment, it basically throws a wrench in the whole idea that the malice from the assault automatically carries over to the killing. It complicates the usual felony murder logic.
Yeah, and this is where the court introduces what they call the modified merger rule.
Okay, now we're getting to the heart of it. What is this modified merger rule and how does it work?
So in simple terms, the modified merger rule, the way the court laid it out in Edge, basically says this. If a jury finds that there was enough provocation to justify a voluntary manslaughter conviction, meaning they believe the underlying felony, in this case the assault, was also provoked, then a felony murder conviction based on that same assault can't stand.
Okay, so let me make sure I'm getting this right. The jury's finding of provocation, it kind of transforms the nature of the underlying assault. It's no longer seen as an act, the kind of malicious intent that can then be transferred to the killing for a felony murder charge.
Yeah, you got it. It's like the provocation, the heat of passion, it sort of disrupts the chain of logic that usually leads to a felony murder conviction.
Now, we often hear the term merger doctrine thrown around in discussions about felony murder. Can you tell us how Georgia's modified version relates to the traditional understanding of this doctrine?
Absolutely. That's a really important distinction to make. So the traditional merger doctrine, it basically says that you can't use a less serious felony, like assault, as the basis for a felony murder charge if the assault is just part and parcel of the homicide itself. The idea is to stop the felony murder rule from being used too broadly, to make sure it doesn't basically swallow up all manslaughter charges.
So, like, if every homicide involves some type of assault, you wouldn't want felony murder to become the automatic charge in every killing. That would kind of blur the lines between different levels of criminal intent, right?
Right, exactly. It would make it hard to distinguish between someone who intended to kill and someone who acted in the heat of the moment. But, and here's the important part, Georgia's modified merger rule doesn't completely ban using assault as the underlying felony for a felony murder conviction. Mm. It only comes into play if the jury also finds the defendant guilty of voluntary manslaughter. It's like that manslaughter verdict, it becomes the trigger. It activates the modified merger rule.
So it's specifically the jury acknowledging provocation that makes the difference here.
Yeah, it's all about that recognition of provocation. And it's
right.
Important to remember that in felony murder cases, that idea of malice, it's not always about some pre-planned, cold-blooded desire to kill.
Right.
It's often implied, like we said before, inferred from the fact that you were committing a dangerous crime.
So the Edge case is really highlighting how a mitigating factor like provocation can really disrupt that kind of legal reasoning. It's not so straightforward anymore.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so let's shift gears a little and talk about something else the Edge decision brought up, which is the issue of jury instructions. Specifically, what the court called sequential jury instructions. What was the court's concern with this approach?
Well, they were basically concerned about instructions that tell jurors to consider voluntary manslaughter only after they've thought about and ruled out both malice murder and felony murder. The worry is that this sequential approach, it might actually prevent the jury from fully considering all the evidence of provocation right from the start.
So if you're a juror and you're told to first decide if it's murder, and only then, if you decide it's not murder, to think about manslaughter, you might miss some crucial details about provocation that could have affected your decision about murder in the first place.
Exactly. It's like you might overlook something really important about why the defendant acted the way they did. The court was worried that this kind of step-by-step approach, it might lead jurors to make a decision about the murder charges without fully understanding how provocation might have influenced the entire situation.
I see. So it's about making sure the jury considers all the angles, all the nuances right from the get-go.
Right.
Now, the court raised this point about jury instructions in Edge, but it wasn't the main reason they overturned the felony murder conviction, right?
That's right.
Because his lawyers didn't actually object to those instructions during the trial.
Right. They didn't raise any objections. So it wasn't grounds for reversing the conviction in this particular case.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's step back for a moment and really synthesize all of this. What's the lasting legacy of Edge v. State? What are the big takeaways, the key principles that came out of it?
I think the biggest takeaway from Edge is that it really clarifies this important point. In Georgia, if a jury finds there was enough provocation to convict someone of voluntary manslaughter, that finding basically nullifies the malice you need for a felony murder conviction, if the underlying felony was that same provoked act that led to the manslaughter verdict.
So it's about making sure the pieces fit together, making sure the verdicts make logical sense.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. It's about ensuring consistency.
And what about for future cases in Georgia? What's the practical impact of Edge?
Well, another important implication is that from now on, juries in Georgia should be instructed in a way that lets them consider manslaughter charges at the same time as murder charges, not as some kind of afterthought.
So it's changing how things are done in the courtroom, how the jury is guided in their decision making.
Yeah, and Edge also had another ripple effect. It led to the overturning of some previous case law, specifically a case called Hill v. State, which had basically allowed these seemingly contradictory verdicts to stand. So, you know, Edge really shifted things. It really clarified the law.
It did. So for our listener out there, you know, a law student who's really trying to wrap their head around all this, what are the really important takeaways? What should they be walking away with after this deep dive into Edge?
All right. So if you're a law student and you're listening to this, here are the key things to remember about Edge. First, pay really close attention to jury instructions. They matter a lot. Understand how those instructions are shaping the way the jury is thinking about the case, especially when it comes to things like provocation. They can really make a difference.
Okay, so jury instructions, super important. What else?
Second, and this is really crucial, provocation is not just something that can reduce a murder charge to manslaughter. That's important, but Edge shows us that in very specific situations, provocation can actually completely undermine the malice you need for a felony murder conviction. Remember, malice is often implied in felony murder, but Edge is saying, hold on, if the underlying felony itself was provoked, well, that changes things.
I see. So it's like the provocation kind of breaks the chain of logic. It interrupts the usual assumptions.
Exactly. It injects this whole other layer of complexity. And one last thing for our listener, the law student out there.
Yeah. What's the final takeaway?
Remember that Georgia's modified merger rule, it's not saying you can never use assault as the basis for a felony murder charge. It's very specific. It only kicks in when a jury also finds the defendant guilty of voluntary manslaughter.
So that finding of manslaughter based on provocation, that's the key.
Exactly. The provocation is what prevents that sort of automatic transfer of malice from the assault to the killing. It's like the court is saying, look, if the jury believes the defendant was provoked enough to commit manslaughter, well, we can't just ignore that when we're thinking about felony murder.
It's about acknowledging the context, acknowledging the emotional state of the defendant.
Absolutely.
So Edge's state really helps us understand all these subtle but important distinctions within criminal law. It's a case about ensuring that jury verdicts aren't just based on the evidence, but that they also make sense legally, that they're logically sound.
It's about fairness, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Making sure the law is applied in a way that takes into account all the factors, all the nuances. And, you know, it also makes us think about how the law tries to balance these really intense emotional acts, like killing someone in the heat of passion, with the very real, very permanent consequences of those actions. It's about trying to make sense of those moments where reason takes a backseat to emotion.
It is, and it's a reminder that the law isn't always black and white. There are a lot of gray areas, a lot of complexities that we need to grapple with.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been a fantastic deep dive into Edgemere State. I think it's given our listener a lot to think about, especially when it comes to understanding felony murder and voluntary manslaughter and how provocation can really shake things up.
It has. And for our listener, the law student out there, still early in their legal journey. Here's a final thought, something to ponder. Think about how this modified merger rule in Georgia is really an attempt by the legal system to balance two things. The very personal, subjective experience of provocation and the objective fact that someone has died. You know, ask yourself, how might this be handled differently in states that don't have this specific rule? How do different legal systems deal with these same fundamental questions?
That's a great question, and it really gets at the heart of what it means to be culpable, what it means to hold someone accountable for their actions.
It does.
And it's something that legal minds have been wrestling with for centuries.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been a truly fascinating exploration of Edge v. State. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure. Always great to be here.
We'll see you next time.
See you then.